Religion on the Line. 2 hours of exploration into the world of spirituality, faith, hope, love, or the hot buttons of today. Talk about it now. 576-7710. And now, Religion on the Line.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio 710 on your AM radio dial 103.7 FM. This is the time and this is the place. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Bill Scholl with the Archdiocese of Kansas City, Kansas, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda.
Michael, you would not believe. I mean, we're urging everybody right now in the greater Kansas City metro area, all of you guys over at KMAJ or within the listening realm of that 1440 AM station in Topeka, go outside and look at the sunrise. Unbelievable. Just extraordinary, beautiful colors in the sky. It just, Michael, wish you were here. We were almost late getting back from the break looking at it so long. So, just breathtaking. So, there we go. Any rate, KMAJ is a brand new affiliate station having this program on their schedule, and we're very grateful for that, kind of as the syndication expands. 1440 AM is the dial over there in Topeka. They're understood sometimes as the big talker in Topeka, or at least that's the connection. So, Michael, you've spoken to some folks there. This happened, what, right at the turn of the first of the year? Is that right?
Yep, yeah. Maybe it was right before the beginning of the year, and the program director gave us a call, et cetera, and here we are.
Here we are.
Broadcasting deep into Kansas.
Shall we go to a new caller? We've got other topics, but let's go to a caller. How about that? Mm-hmm. And let's go to Mike. Mike, you've got Religion on the Line.
Reverend Bill, Rabbi.
Hello there.
I want to kind of second that Dave guy. I was just coincidentally, I go on a lot on coincidence, but I was just reading a book that or a writer that you recommended, Reverend M.T. Wright.
Uh-huh.
And he went on quite a bit. Just coincidentally, I was reading about the concept of the Sabbath and the Jubilee just yesterday afternoon. And the Jubilee idea is like a Sabbath of Sabbaths. Is that right,
right,
Rabbi? Like things are seven times seven. Like it's more
plus one, yes. It's a sabbatical and, year plus seven sabbatical years plus 1 year.
Right. And then the whole idea of the Sabbath, like he was, this N.T. Wright was going into it about how it's stewardship of the earth, it's rest for the workers, it's rest for the animals. It's kind of lost in modern time, but it's really quite a religiously significant idea. And there was just a little bit of, I don't know, the dismissiveness, I thought, of the gentleman's stuff. I live in Kansas City, and I wonder, wow, a pipeline underneath the Missouri River, gee, I wonder how that would affect everything. And if you've ever watched these TV shows about this Fukushima Daiichi Emi, whatever it is, the Japanese...
The nuclear power plant and the tsunami,
yeah,
et cetera.
If you ever watch one of those shows and see the mess that has made, like that... I know we worry a lot about people and immigrants and things, but this stewardship of the earth and the living environment seems like a real religious thing to me. I want to applaud that gentleman.
Well, and I'm sorry we came across as being dismissive. I think with Dave, and I hope you're still listening, Dave, he was just jumping from topic to topic, and it was kind of difficult to have a religious discussion on a religious show because he was jumping around. But the idea of stewardship, you're right. I think we'd all agree that a religious perspective would really help some of the struggles and the debates we're having. And I was trying to lay out one of those principles, which is that we receive the earth as a gift, and it's a gift to share collectively. And we we look at that, we use that lens when we're talking about how we allocate resources. But it's important to keep in mind, you know, when we're talking about things like power plants and pipelines and such, that those are being built for the purpose of helping other people as well. And so it may be a bad idea. It may be a terrible idea to put a pipeline under the Missouri River. And we have a system for having that discussion. But we're not going to get anywhere if we just act like someone who's trying to build a pipeline to create a profit because they're providing a service to other people is somehow doing it, that their only motivation is evil and greed. You're not going to get anywhere in that kind of debate. And I think that was the point that the rabbi was trying to make. So definitely there needs to be a religious perspective in this discussion, and because that can help us then come to a just resolution of how do we balance these conflicting interests.
I would say this too. If somebody really doesn't have a religious motivation and they want to claim a moral motivation for doing what they call stewardship, stewardship is basically a faith-rooted word.
Yeah,
that's where it comes from. To wrest it from its religious foundations and to use it a different way, that's creative, that's wonderful. But hopefully it's done also with respect for a religiously motivated stewardship, a care and love of the earth, which I think has longer staying power. I didn't mean to be dismissive, Mike. If you heard that, then I apologize, and we'll do better next time around with Dave or anybody else. But it is that as Michael said, let's be respectful. Let's not get into the old, I mean, this is an ancient kind of Saturday Night Live skit between James Kilpatrick and Shanna Alexander. Shanna, you ignorant slut.
Oh, yeah.
You know where you just, it's an ad hominem diatribe against somebody. Let's not do that. Let's not just say they're evil because they believe this. Let's try to understand and also demand that they respect our perspective and why we say what we say from a different perspective.
Yeah, I understand. That's good. I don't like the demeaning other people and stuff and impugning motives, but this environmental thing, this is what comes to my mind when I think of the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This nature's going to bat last here real quick, I think, and we better be paying attention to it. So that kind of resonated, but I don't believe in being judgmental or disrespectful.
Well, and I think, Michael, were you suggesting it also as a good tactic, a good strategy for how to have a conversation?
Yeah, well, good. Well, love the show.
All right, Mike.
Thank you.
Michael, it would be good. We got to take a real quick break, but how to have that civic conversation, how to maintain respect for one another. You opined very beautifully about it, but we need to hear more about that. But we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back after these messages here at Religion on the Line. Yeah. Here we are. Time is tight. And we're grateful for Booker T and the MGs, segueing us into our next section here at Religion on the Line, KCMO Talk Radio 710 AM, 103.7 FM at 576-7710. Or if you're out in the hinterland, you're outside the Greater Kansas City metro area, 816 or 913, then 576-7710. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Bill Scholl with the Archdiocese of Kinston, Kansas, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda. So have either of you guys seen The Silence yet?
Have you?
Still almost all of it, but not in one sitting. No, yeah.
Is it in theaters? Where is it?
It was. I'm not sure it's here anymore. It's in the arts sections of those theaters. It's in the little bitty theaters.
Okay, I thought it was going to be a major release because it's movie stars.
Scorsese, but its audience is always going to be small. I mean, because
really?
It's too heavy of a subject matter. And it just is, I think.
So. It was getting all this critical buzz, and then I was waiting to see it in the theater, yeah. And I didn't. Oh, wow. Okay.
Michael, I did see Moana. And
okay.
I loved it. And I'd say take your grandchildren to it. Uh-huh. By the way, there's a couple of scary parts that you'll have to hold their hands. Mm-hmm. But it is beautiful. It's not as...
Now, supposedly has a lot of spiritual themes.
Absolutely, it does. It does. Already, by the way, we're anticipating maybe the cinematic religious event of the year. Have you heard that The Shack has been made into a movie?
Wow.
I saw a preview. Yeah. We actually, Karen and I last night went to a movie because I've been sort of, what should we say, stir crazy.
Yeah.
And we saw La La Land,
yes.
And we saw a preview for The Shack, yes.
All right. Now, did you like La La Land, too, I hope, a little bit?
I'm not the best movie critic. That's your job, Robert.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I'm deeply grateful for the way they finished it because I didn't like, of course, that the couple doesn't, well, that's, spoiler
yeah.
alert.
Yeah.
But the way they reconciled the issues of their moving their lives forward, I thought was well done.
Yeah.
But I don't think, it's a nice tribute to an old kind of Hollywood movie with an updated version of a musical.
Yeah.
But what the whole fuss is about, I'm not sure I understood.
I tell you what, the opening scene on the overpass.
Yeah, the opening scene's great.
This is done without CGI, I think, pretty much.
Yeah.
And it's real time. It's all spliced and diced together, but that is one choreographed piece of beauty.
I think it was one camera shot.
Whoa!
Yeah. They didn't. That's what it's got movie aficionados all excited. He was able to do that with one. There's no. If you look carefully, there's no like
scene.
Splicing. It's all one shot.
But it's winning awards like crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. It's got lots of Golden Globes, Screen Actors Guild. And it's got a record, or it ties the record for the most nominations. So we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. I would say this, the Shaq movie, and it, I think it's going to be interesting. I think
there might be somebody who doesn't know the hypothesis for the movie The Shaq, for the book The Shaq. So maybe give a quick
One of the biggest theses is that God is a black female, and I can't remember her name.
Yeah, it's the Trinity, right? Like, and then one isn't. One person in the Trinity is an Asian woman or something?
Yeah,
I didn't read
black,
the book, but I
black
heard
female.
It. Yeah.
And that seems to be very, very controversial to a lot of people that they would decry and they will condemn.
A child dies, and that's the plot turn, fair?
Yeah, that's the impetus for the rest of the story, so... well, we'll see how it comes out. And so did the previews look interesting?
The preview made it look confusing unless you realize something about the contretemps that attended the publication of the book.
Okay. All right. Well, 576-7710 is the number to call. And here are a couple more items to put before our listeners. I mentioned the most favorite Bible verse of 2016, apparently, Romans 8:28. And also,
soon to be a major motion picture.
Also, did you know that there's a national fund now for sacred spaces and places? The Lilly Endowment, once more with feeling, has issued a $14 million grant over the next 4 years for congregations to apply for grants, matching grants, grants up to $250,000, and
for
restoration
expenses. Or?
Yes. So, for example, I think this chapel it's one of the oldest AME chapels or congregations in the United States in Chicago has received some funds for restoration of its facility. So that's very, very interesting. To me.
Bob, before you go on, I've got a question. If you know the answer, because the Lilly Endowment, which is a remarkable investor in lots of stuff, including one of the few that actually does invest in the world of religion,
mm-hmm.
As in this example, is it limited to Protestant, Christian, or is it any and all sacred places?
I think this is sacred places is an intentional. Mm-hmm. inclusive metaphor. I do know that people are saying that it's important this area to say all of these places have value for everybody, that they're not just Methodist or Presbyterian or Jewish or Catholic. They're places that serve us all. So, you know, that's what some of the leaders are saying. I haven't seen the and I'll do a little bit more research in this, but I haven't seen where it's exclusively Christian or exclusively Protestant, which more often than not, that's what Lilly supports, is Protestant Christianity in the North American context. But I do know that they support Catholics. I do know that they give grants, even in specific areas in Indianapolis, to the Catholic diocese. So, and I do know that they support interfaith efforts as well. Speaking of interfaith, here's another bulletin. The Army now allows soldiers to wear turbans, beards, hijabs. Did you know this?
No.
I did not know this. Very interesting. And then finally, so that we, before I repeat the phone number for folk to call, in Sicily, a synagogue has new life courtesy of the Catholic Archdiocese of Palermo. They're transferring a chapel.
This is disgraceful.
The chapel, the Oratory of Santa Maria el Sabato, the St. Mary of the Sabbath, was built above the ruins of the great synagogue there. And that used to stand in the center of Palermo. 500 years ago, the Jews were expelled from there. And it's that area is being returned to a Jewish congregation. Yeah. So Rabbi Pinhas Puntereo, emissary to Sicily, Italy, for Shave Israel, an organization opening a new synagogue in Palermo 500 years after the Jewish people were expelled there. So I just found that very interesting.
I find it intriguing, too, not the least of the reasons being 500 years is a blink of the eye the way the church measures things, Bill, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
576-7710. 576-7710. Now, last topic. What do you do in your faith when you're sick? How do you function? And how does your faith function for you? Might I suggest that there are prayer circles, there are prayer lists, and do you like being prayed for publicly? Do you like to be remembered in, you'll have to help me here, Bill, in the novenas or the things that are special, not dispensations, but special efforts made on behalf of certain people in the Catholic Church.
And then Michael, there's the anointing of the sick, which is a sacrament.
Anointing of the sick. Yeah. Michael, what in Jewish tradition would you have?
Sure, there is a prayer for healing that's part of the worship service, and in many congregations has the habit now of reciting names of those in need of our heartfelt concern, or as the tradition has it, a healing of body and a healing of spirit. Don't always get both.
Right.
And among the controversies, whether people want their names included, and then there'll always be a request to, are there other names that one would wish to share aloud?
I find it very moving when it happens spontaneously. I do know that, you know, congregation after congregation will print the names of those people that have been called in to a mosque office, a synagogue office, a church office, to say, please put my name before the people this week and print it so that they'll remember me.
And it's so topical you chose that, because today is, or I think it was yesterday, it was World Day of the Sick.
Have their own day.
In the Catholic Church, Pope John Paul established a World Day for the Sick, a special day for the Catholic Church. And so the Pope just gave a message, which is, you know, this celebration gives the church renewed energy for carrying out more fully her fundamental mission, which includes serving the poor, the infirm, and the suffering. So key to being Christian is caring for the sick. That's a fundamental role of
baptism. All right. We're going to take a break. We'll be back right quickly here at Religion on the Line, 576-7710. Do hang on. Do give us a call, and we'll put you in the queue and come on back here at Religion on the Line. We're not going to say you're dumb, you're stupid. Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM. And thank you and welcome to KMAJ, 1440 AM over in Topeka, the big talker there. We're grateful for your partnership as well and having us on your program live. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Bill Scholl with the Archdiocese of Kansas City in Kansas, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda.
And I think we got all the topics out that I wanted to suggest, so it'll be interesting.
I wouldn't mind if I can throw in, given that it was at the top of the hour an hour and a half ago.
Yes.
Folks, I need some help here. Come
yes.
On.
Oh, yeah. Your class.
Problematic texts in the Hebrew Bible, messy moments. And we talked about Samson and Delilah, and we talked about Lot's daughters. And what are some of the
Cain
areas
and Abel
in the Hebrew Bible? Whoa, what's going on here?
Yeah. Michael, I think this is ingenious on your part to have that as a gathering metaphor. And it'll be. And will you report back next week also?
Yeah, all the ones we couldn't solve.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's go to some callers. Why don't we? Let's go to Madeline. Madeline, you've got Religion on the Line.
Good morning, boys, and welcome back, Reverend. I missed you, and I was sorry to hear you were not well.
Thank you, Madeline. You're so gracious.
And what I do is, I started a novena for you, and it won't end until Tuesday. So you're on my prayer list. Reverend,
thank you.
Welcome back.
Wait, before you go on, Madeline, because I think for some of us, and certainly for me, that what you just said is intriguing and new, that I started a novena for you and it won't end until Tuesday. First of all, Bob doesn't have to be sick until Tuesday, I'm sure.
No, of course not.
Help me understand that you started something called a novena.
Right.
And it doesn't end till Tuesday. What does that mean?
I think it's Tuesday. I've got it marked on my calendar. But it's 9 days of prayer, and it's for a specific thing. This was a healing. I didn't know it was a healing prayer for somebody who's sick, and I didn't know what was bothering him. But 9 days of prayer is something that's important to me. Novenas have always been. I grew up with them in an Italian family. 9 days.
And a novena, given the connection to the word nine, does it always mean 9 days?
Yes, 9 days, uh-huh. 9 hours, whatever it was.
Uh-huh.
And I could always tell by when the people who raised me, I wonder what this one's about. Because I knew it was something specific. And so it doesn't mean that, it was for him to get well and to get what he needed to be well. And that's what I did when your mother died. It was just welcoming her into a new world and thanking God for giving her to us. That was also something I did. I've had people question that. It's just something we do. I have a book that's as old as I am that I inherited. I treasure it. That was given to me by my aunts who raised me. And there's novenas for everything. I said a novena when I heard about Bill being in the deacon program.
Thank you.
And it was to give him guidance and strength. And it's just something I do. So I hope that answers your question. I don't
yeah,
know.
You sure did give me a thorough answer, and I'm not surprised at your commitment to this kind of practice.
And would you please take care of yourself and don't be so...
I promise.
And when your wife gives you your pills, take them and be good.
Well, the only thing I'd like to know is when
you're going to be ordained.
I have to give myself an injection for... it's a 30-day regimen of a blood thinner. It's a heparin-related blood thinner. And I never thought I'd be doing that sort of thing, but...
You're too young for this kind of stuff.
Yes, need to try. I have to find somewhere on my body where there's, you should give the expression, some fat. It's hard to do.
Yeah. It is hard to do. I know it is. And your novena has started also.
Oh,
so you're on
God,
for 9 days.
Well, Madeline, in answer to your question, the cohort I'm in studying for the permanent diaconate, we're scheduled to be ordained to the permanent diaconate June 3rd at Prince of Peace in Olathe. So if you've got the time, I'd love to get one of those novenas to help get me down the stretch. You know, they tell us, you know, you never know you're going to be ordained or you're called until a few seconds before the Archbishop puts his hands on you. So even now when we're so close, you know, I'm trying to avoid presumption. But we are scheduled to be ordained on June 3rd, so I'd love any prayers I could get to just get me down the stretch and
Bill,
I can use all the grace I can get. So thank
God
you.
God loves
sure
you
plenty.
All, and I pray for you, and I would love to be there if it was at all possible.
You're invited. Yeah, come on.
I know what it takes to do this. That's why I admire you people so much. To become a deacon, I know what it took, Joseph. It was 5 years and lots of work, and the rabbi and the reverend, they're just all, not just them, but all of you are special. This is such a wonderful thing, and we need you more and more every day. So, boys, be well, take care, and know that somebody on Chaz Drive prays for you.
Thank you, Madeline.
Thank you so much.
God bless. Just,
is June 3rd a special day in the Catholic calendar, or just simply is the time?
It's a Saturday that the Archbishop has available.
it is a special day in the Catholic calendar.
You know, it might be. I don't know off the top of my head. Let's see if I'll find it.
Well, before we take we're going to take a little break here in just a few minutes, and we're going to get to our next callers. And thank you for calling 576-7710, 576-7710. I do think that we live in very, very interesting times. And to have somebody so dependably compassionate and positive for one's well-being, whether they're praying a novena for you or just thinking nice thoughts about you, and always ready to call you boys.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you like to wish that on everybody?
Yeah.
Michael, I mean, it's a
absolutely
special blessing. And the more people that you can have in your life like Madeline, the better you will be, and may her tribe increase, and may you be blessed by somebody that's like her. At any rate, 576-7710 is the number to call. 576-7710 is the number to call. We are going to go to John. John, you've got religion on the line. You want to talk about prayer? Is that it? John? John.
Hello,
John.
Hi, can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can. Yeah. Sorry.
Okay. I hate to follow Madeline. Not really.
You got to do it. John, it's okay. Just promise to do novena for us, and we'll be happy.
Or what a privilege to follow Madeline is another way of looking at it, too.
Well, yeah. I'm just wondering if you guys, does God listen to people praying? And does it make a difference? Like if somebody's praying for a name on a list, I mean, what's the mechanism, do you think, that would make God decide to heal somebody or something like that if you pray for, just a random name? Do you follow what I'm asking?
Yeah. Do you think so or not?
I don't know.
Okay. I do think that anytime you mention somebody's name, that it is efficacious, it's holy, and it impacts the universe and the person's well-being and connection with God. Do I have an incontrovertible mathematical equation that I can show you how that works chemophysically? Nope, I don't. I don't have that. My faith tells me that that works. My experience tells me that that works.
Okay. Yeah, and in the Catholic tradition, we have this idea called the dark night of the soul. That sometimes when you're praying, you don't get a lot of consolation. You don't get this warm, fuzzy feeling, but rather you kind of gut it out, where you're in relationship with God and you're not getting a lot of great good feelings, and your prayer life is very dry. And there's two ways of looking at it. One, what I would say the mistaken idea, that, and it's a mistake that's very understandable, a lot of people fall in it, God's left me, God's gone, you know, he's not giving me these warm feelies. The other is that actually God's closer to you than he's ever been before, because he's giving you a chance to love him and not the feelings you're getting, where he's purifying your love. I think it's a good practice to have a discipline of prayer where you pray both in times of consolation and then times of dryness, because in those times of dryness, in some ways, God hears your prayer even more because it's purified by this idea that, hey, I'm not doing this because I'm getting a lot of warm feelings. I'm doing this because it's right, it's just, and you're good. And I kind of compare it to like an author who a writer who does a journal every day. And no matter what, if sometimes inspiration flows and it's great, other times it's really difficult, but he just forces himself to write and write and write, because he knows the more I write, the more time I'm opening myself up to inspiration. So I don't know if that answers your question, but I think God looks at the intent of the person praying, and the closer you are to him, the more inclined he is to answer. But he's so good, and he's so merciful, and he's so loving, and he wants to help humanity. So, and he wants us to pray for each other. I think he's made that clear, where he wants other people praying, because that brings us closer. I don't know. And then, Rabbi, I don't know if you had anything to say on that.
Yeah, well, we're up against the break. If the caller can hold on, I'll be happy to try to add some confusion to the matter.
Yeah, John, you hold on, okay? Hold on. And we're going to be right back after these messages. Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM. Do give us a call at 576-7710, but make it fast. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus at Community Christian Church, along with
Bill Scholl with the Archdiocese of Kansas City, Kansas, along with
Rabbi Michael Rabbi Emeritus, Temple Grand Ayud. I was praying.
That's right. Michael, I may have dropped our friend. I thought I'd put him on hold, but do you want to say something about
shame?
That?
So shame.
John had that question about prayer and naming.
Right.
People.
So just to throw into whether quote unquote, so to speak, whether it works or not was essentially
And
there's a wonderful phrase by a remarkable rabbi of the previous century. I'm going to paraphrase it. One arises from prayer, a better person. That person's prayer is answered.
Say it again, Michael.
One who rises from prayer, a better person, that person's prayer is answered. That's A. B, the question gives me an opportunity to cite, and Bob, I know you're going to hear, as soon as I say this, you're going to know what I'm going to say. We started this show a long time ago, and Father Tom Savage, may he rest in peace, was our partner. And he used to say, God answers all prayers. Sometimes the answer is no. Three, I think prayers can often be put into the following categories. There's the prayers of please, there's the prayers of thank you, and there's the prayers of wow. Please prayers are harder for us to comprehend. Thank you and wow, I don't think there's any question. Those are always responded to, if nothing else, by our attention, by our awareness. Mm-hmm. But the please prayer, that's what we're really talking about. Because most prayer is paying attention.
And listening.
Say again?
And listening.
Yeah. And I'm reminded of a quote-unquote backwoods story of a woman who would always pray before eating her meal, and gentleman, some cynical nature says to her, why do you bother to pray? You're still going to get to eat. She said, yeah, but yeah, my victuals taste better after I pray. I don't have any doubt that people are aware when they're being thought of.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, I can't get to, this prayer will cause the universe to go off course and that cancer will stop. Mm-hmm. That's among the reasons why we use the word miracle to explain such things, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I do know that it matters to be mattered.
Mm-hmm.
It matters to be cared about.
Yeah.
And I have no question about it as a response to prayer. I can't go further than that into the mystery of prayer.
Okay. We're going to go, beautifully said, Michael, as always, and we're going to go to Pat. You've got religion on the line?
Yes. So today is the birthday of Charles Darwin, and he has a profound quote, which I just thought I would share and get your thoughts on it. He said, I cannot persuade myself that a beneficent and omnipotent God would have designedly created parasitic wasps with the express intention of their feeding within the living bodies of caterpillars.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, there are many of us who have questions about what does omnipotence mean, and is it, you know, if I would refer you to an easier read than Darwin, namely When Bad Things Happen to Good People by Rabbi Harold Kushner. Mystery is as clear as I can get to the notion of deity. It's a mystery I refuse to give up.
So, Patrick, what does that quote mean to you? Do you think that disproves the existence of God? Do you think that's what Darwin's saying, that God doesn't exist because nature has bad actors, or what?
Well, I think it says what it says. You know, how can you believe in an omnipotent and beneficent God that could have created any kind of universe he wanted? But, you know, leaving aside the question of human pain, because I know the standard religious answer is, well, God didn't want 10 soldiers. He wanted people with free will.
Yeah.
Well, let's just talk about animal pain. Why did a beneficent and omnipotent God create a universe which resulted in 150 million years of dinosaurs just eating each other? How did that fit into this beneficent God's plan?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think you raised good questions. I think you raised good questions, and it would be one of the questions. This is a meta question, Pat. So if we get to an answer for that, how do we move the human prospect or the world's progress forward? Is it because maybe we want to do away with religion because it's bad, it hurts the world, it hurts human progress, it hurts whatever? Or what's the purpose of the answer to the question? Do you follow me at all?
Yes, I do. I just think that, you know, I think the answers to the question have to be satisfying to the intellect.
Yeah, and I would say this. It has to be satisfying to a few more sectors of human personality and world consciousness than just logical intellect. But that's just me.
Hey, yeah, call back with that question next week when we have a little more time to dig in.
We've got some music coming up on
when it's not Darwin's birthday.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Pat. And Ed, we're sorry we didn't get to you, but we'll get to you next week. Do give us a call back. 576-7710 will be the number then. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Bill Scholl with the Archdiocese of Kansas City, Kansas, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus. And given that we talked about prayer, we're happy to be able to say,
God bless.